The date is the 29th of August 1994. This is a series of interviews with people who've been associated with the City of Berwick. This is the 9th interview with Councillor Jane Bateman. Firstly on the Shire of Berwick Council, and then on the first council of the City of Berwick, and currently a council member in 1994. Councillor Bateman, I'd like to just begin, if you could make a brief point about when you first moved to Doveton.
Yes, 37 years ago, my husband and I and one child moved to Doveton, and we moved into Canuka Grove, Doveton. And Canuka Grove is in the Doveton West and South of Power Road area. And it was reasonably undeveloped. There was the roads and there was houses and very little else. In fact, I could look out from my front window and up the hill where I currently live, and at that time it was still golf course and trees all over the hill. And then as the development of Doveton occurred, I sat there and I watched them mow down every tree that was on that hill, much to my distress. And I said to my husband, well, if we're going to stay here in Doveton and make this the place where we're going to bring up our children, then it would be lovely to live up on the top of that hill. Because the house that we were in was one of those original ones where there was two joined together, and at that time you couldn't separate them and purchase them, even if we had been in the position to be able to do it, which we were not. So having been in Canuka Grove address for 12 months and we decided to move up on the hill, I went and saw Mr. Larry Cotton Stapleton, of Cotton Stapleton, to say to him that we were interested in buying. And I can remember him saying to us that if we waited a little while, the deposit for the house was going to come down to £100. So we did just that, and we scraped together the £100, and our house cost us £3,500 to purchase. We knew that directly opposite us was going to be a school, and so the house that we chose to purchase was purchased because of the fact that it was on the top of the hill and because it was directly opposite the Doveton West Primary School.
And when did you start off by becoming involved in a lot of community groups in that area? Is that how you started to move towards local government?
It began because my husband had been a Queen Scout and had been in the scouting movement, and I myself had been in the Guides and the scouting movement. And one of the local members of Parliament, Mr. Len Reed, who knew my father-in-law, knew we had moved into the area and came down and asked us to get involved in helping to establish some of those community groups within our own community. Actually, I guess the first involvement we got was going and letterboxing and handing out how to vote information in regard to Mr. Reed himself at that particular time. And so that was how we first started to become very much involved in establishing our community. My husband and I did it together. He became involved in the scouting movement, and we both became very much involved in what was the Doveton Youth Club at the time. Now, the only facility that we had in Doveton at the time was the Doveton School in Laurel Avenue, and everything happened out of there. We used to play a little bit of netball and basketball. Netball, as it's called now, basketball as it was called then, up there in the school grounds on their court. We used to have a little boxing group that was run by a gentleman who lived in Hawthorne Road, Mr. Sinclair. And Claude Quist, who was an identity of Dandenong, he used to run dances for us on a regular basis, and he would bring out this great collection of records that he'd have, and he'd play the music and we'd hold dances to give the young people something to do, and also it was a means of starting to raise some funds to do the things that needed to be done in the area to help the young people. So that was sort of the start of getting involved. Mary Morgan, who was the deaconess at the Presbyterian Church in Doveton was also very involved in the scouting movement. She was the other person who was instrumental in encouraging my husband to be very, very much involved in the scouts movement back in Doveton. I also served on the committee of the Infant Welfare Centre, and that used to operate out of number 1 Tristania Street, Doveton, and Grace McCauley was our first Infant Welfare Centre sister, and she lived with her daughter Barbara in the back part of the house, and the actual service of the Infant Welfare Centre operated out of the lounge and the front bedroom of the house until such time as we had our own Infant Welfare Centre in Autumn Place. And then after that was established, I also worked for a very brief time to help raise funds for the establishment of our preschool. And it was an interesting thing that, having worked like billy-o for it, that by the time it was built, my children sort of didn't get to use the services. So that was one aspect of it. In regard to the youth club that I spoke about earlier, that started off being active up in the Doveton school, it did for a little while work out of a hall in Dandenong too, but once the school made itself available, that was the cornerstone of it happening. And then my husband and a Mr. Les Bailey stood on the corner of Autumn Place and Hawthorne Road, just down opposite where the police station currently is. And as the little boys came down to the shopping centre, and there weren't too many shops there then, let me tell you, but as they came down, they'd say to the little fellows, "Now, would you like to play footy?" So they took the names of the guys who wanted to play football, and when they had enough to start a team, then they had to do two other things. They had to find a league or an association that would take Doveton on board and allow us to play. And then we had to do something about finding an area for the young people to play on. So my husband walked to Pakenham, because we didn't have a car in those days, and he walked to Pakenham and put to the officers and the councillors of Pakenham that there was a very urgent need for the establishment of a playing field in Doveton so that the young people of Doveton would have a facility that they could let out some of their energy, etc.
What year would this be? In the 60s at some...
I can't remember. Deborah, I have to say to you, I am not good with dates. Mm-hmm. Back at home, I've got a certificate that was given to my husband a few years back when they had their 25th birthday. So we're looking about 30 years ago, I suppose, something like that. But I could research those dates for you if you want more detail about it. But I just off the top of my head, I'm not good on dates. So anyway, the council of the day had already set its budget, but they recognised that there was a need and there were a group of people down there in Doveton willing to do something about it. So they actually formed the football oval. And at the same time, we decided, well, we had to do something about the girls as well. So Les Bailey's wife, who had been very keen on basketball, and a few others of us started to transfer the basketball team down from the school down to this area as well. And many were the happy moments that we spent as a group of families trying to provide something for our young people. We used to take our own mowers down and mow the grass for particularly the netballers or the basketballers to play on, because at that time it wasn't an asphalt surface. But there was a lot of camaraderie and that feeling of working together to achieve things. It was tremendous. One of the gentlemen who was very involved in all of this was Mr. Jack Green, who at that time lived in Power Road, and he worked for the Housing Commission. And he managed to go to the Commission and get two sheds for us to use as our first ever club rooms. And they were subsequently painted green, and they became quite a part of the history of Doveton in particular, but the football club. And I can remember a bit of a furor some years later in council when they wanted to move the green tin sheds out of the Doveton football club, and the three Doveton ward councillors dancing up and down saying, "You can't take those, you know, it's part of our history." But it was interesting to see how it evolved. I guess because we were a young community and there were lots of young people, we were a very strong sporting organisation. So subsequent to that, then the first part of the Oak Avenue Hall was built, and so we moved out of the tin shed and into the first concrete part of it, and it was always built with a partition there so that could be added on to, and what is the Oak Avenue Hall now is the result of the adding on that occurred.
Yeah. And so when did you start thinking about standing for local government?
It was back in 1971, because of a number of family situations. I had lost a little baby, and both my husband and I had stopped being so actively involved in our community because we had a lot of debt, a lot of medical debt and funeral expenses and everything that we had to do. So John was working full time, and then to meet those expenses I had to go out to work. And so that didn't give you too much energy then to be involved in your community things to the same extent as we had been. But around about that time, there were two things happened in the 1970s, 1971, when Dandenong once more trying to take over Doveton, and always on the assumption that they didn't really want the people of Doveton or houses. What they wanted, of course, was the revenue from the big three down along the highway. Mm-hmm. But they recognised that just to ask for that wasn't going to be achievable, so they sort of asked for Doveton as a whole to take in those three big factories. And I said to my husband, "Oh, I'm so angry about this. I feel like I'd stand for council rather than let that happen." The other thing that was happening too was that there was also the move for part of the Shire of Berwick to be seceded to establish the City of Berwick, and I felt that was a bit premature. I felt that there was not enough population there, and that the burden that those who were living there would have to carry financially would be too great, and so that was a little bit premature. So my actual thing was twofold, was to stop Dandenong taking us over, but also to try and keep the Shire of Berwick in its entirety, because I personally had felt that the Shire of Berwick, while they struggled to understand the needs of Doveton, had done a reasonably fair job about it. For instance, in regard to the Infant Welfare Centre, we used to go to the annual meetings of the infant welfare centres in Dandenong, and they used to come to ours, etc. So you heard a lot about the sort of support the Dandenong infant welfare centres did not get from their council in comparison to the support that we got from the Shire of Berwick. And I guess, too, mindful of how the Shire had responded very quickly to that request from my husband to establish the football facilities and the youth facilities, I felt that, yeah, they had been good, and we were quite well off under the Shire. So I decided that I wanted to stand for council on those issues. But then I discovered that there was another gentleman standing for council, and his name was Mr. Fred Little. I don't know, he was the guy that was pictured on the front page of that book, Newtown. He was part of that study of Doveton. And Fred was a real identity, and he was already standing, or he'd intimated that he was standing for council, and they had a petition going around to get people to sign to stop Dandenong taking us over. And so when I went along and I thought, well, if it's no good me standing against him, because all that would do would be to split the vote when we really had the same ambition to try and keep things as a whole. So instead of nominating, I indicated to him that I would support, and I went out and started going door to door with the petition, etc. And then one evening I had a meeting going on at my home, actually, and there was a knock at the door, and there was Mr. Little and a couple of other people from his campaign, and they had discovered that because Fred was a pensioner and he had deferred his rates, the payment of rates, he was not eligible to stand. Because the Local Government Act was quite precise in saying that if you owed money to the council, then you couldn't stand for local government, you see. And I think they had already gone and spoken to Mr. Bleeker, the local barber, to see if he would accept nomination, and I don't think that he felt he could at that time. So I was the next on the list, mm-hmm. and they came and asked me to see if I would stand instead of Fred. Mm-hmm. So I said, sure. And before I knew where I was, I had the nomination form signed with the 10 signatures that you had to have, and arrived up at council with my money and my nomination form, and a fortnight later discovered that I was the councillor for the area. It was an incredible thing because it was just all done so quickly. And I guess because of my involvement in the community with my church and with the Infant Welfare Centre and the sporting organisations and all of those things, I was reasonably well known, even though I had not been involved in them quite to the same level in the recent years. And
what was it like on the Shire of Berwick in 71, 72?
Yeah, it was fascinating, you know, because I hadn't ever been to a council meeting. My husband had been involved. He had been in rate office out at the Shire of Broadmeadows. And my father-in-law had been in council at Coburg for 13 years and served the term as mayor out there. So local government was not strange to me in as much as the principles of local government. I had never, ever been to a council meeting. So the first ever time that I went up was to actually lead a deputation in regard to this anti-severance, anti-annexation thing on behalf of the group that was supporting me. And it was very much a gentleman's club. There had, I guess, again, the Shire of Berwick was a bit unique in as much as they had Beatrice Thomas as their Shire Secretary. And Beatrice had been there, and so they were not unfamiliar with working with women, and also Jenny Vaughan had already been a councillor representing one of the ridings further down. So I was not the first woman that the Shire of Berwick had on its council, but it was still very much an old gentleman's club. It was very Sleepy Hollow. We used to meet twice a month. And one Monday, it would start at about 9:30 in the morning, and that was the normal council meeting. And then you'd go through, and at lunchtime, they'd all trundle off down to the hotel down near the railway station at Pakenham and have a nice leisurely lunch. And then back, they'd come and get on with the business for the rest of the afternoon. And then around about 6:00, one of the local organisations such as Church Group or CWA would come in and provide us with a casserole tea, and then back we would go on and get on with the rest of the business. And sometimes it could go till midnight or later at night before the meeting finished, because there was no set time to finish by, and it just was just when the work was done, when the agenda had been finished, then that was the time to go home. And particularly when it came to estimates time, it really protracted the whole thing, because we had riding balances then, so that the money that was raised in the riding was spent in the riding. And of course Doveton was the richest end of the municipality. And this created quite a lot of angst in regard to little Iona up the other end, which didn't have very much population, didn't have very much in rate revenue. And for such things as when they were being asked to participate in the regional library, they felt that the library wasn't something that interested them terribly much, and they really didn't have the money to afford, because it was better to be spent on roads and drains and all those traditional local government things that had to be done. So that was the main Monday. And then on another Monday we would meet, say, at 1:00 in the afternoon. It was predominantly planning matters that were dealt with at that. And of course then there was the usual committees. Community services, of course, was a very new and innovative thing for local government to be involved in at that time. But I guess always when I've been in council, I've been on the Community Services Committee, and most of the time that I've been involved with it, I've been involved as its chairman. So it's been a particular interest of mine over the years.
Were you the only woman on council in that year?
Yes, for a couple of years. For that year. And then the next year, June Matthews was elected. So there was a couple of us there.
Yeah. And were you concerned that the money in the Doveton riding was going elsewhere, wasn't being spent in that area?
It didn't concern me at all. Yes, of course, it was going to the general administration and the payment of the salaries of the officers that administered. But there were a couple of things that came up, and the library, I guess, is one of them, where the only reason we could be part of the library was if everybody agreed to it, not just every riding within our municipality, but every municipality within the Dandenong Valley Regional Library had to agree to it and agree to the contract. So in fact Doveton paid Iona's share, if I recall, in the first days, just to
bring them in
to make it happen. But that was particularly Sid Padgett's baby. You know, he was one of the driving forces behind the establishment of the library, and it wasn't one that I was particularly involved with at that time.
Yeah.
So it didn't concern me that we were doing that, because I guess I've always had a pretty global view of local government, and that's been very helpful.
So how was the Berwickshire Severance Movement developing at this time, and how did you relate to that?
It was developing very well, and I didn't relate to it at all, because they wanted to establish the new city of Berwick, and I felt it was a bit premature. So I really had very little contact with them. Then, of course, after having been elected for 3 years, and I believe elected with the mandate to try and keep it as its whole, because I was quite precise with the reason why I was standing, was to keep the Shire as it was. Of course, then the local government board held its inquiry, and in fact the City of Berwick was established. So after only 2 years on council, I had to stand down and then stand for re-election. And of course the other factor, I guess, is that I represented a ward that was very political, because it was predominantly Labor people living in Doveton, or Labor voters living in Doveton. I guess I've been the little blip that's always occurred, because it was a known fact. In fact, the first ever paper that ever came out was Liberal stands for Liberal stands for Doveton, and I can remember saying to them, "Yes, I'm a member of the Liberal Party, and so what? It's got nothing to do with why I'm standing. I don't believe there is a place for politics in local government. So now let's get on with the issues." And I think the people of Doveton have always recognised where my political alignment has been, but has also always seen me as quite apolitical in regard to my approach to local government. And I guess that's why when I have stood, except for one occasion, I've always been elected.
So then, with the creation of the city, we're going through this a bit rapidly. There's all sorts of things that unfortunately we're missing. But with the creation of the city, how do you recall that first year of the new city and everything changing?
The first year was very exciting, because out of the 12 councillors that were elected, only four of us had served on local government previously. So you had Councillor Padgett, who had been on council for a long time, and then you had Councillor Simon and myself, who'd been on 2 years, and Councillor Wishart, who'd been on less than that because he'd come in on a by-election. And then you had eight other councillors who really had no experience of local government at all. And I often look back and think how we really were blessed. I think God must have been looking after us in our decision-making during that time, because without any help from any management consultants or anything like that, We advertised for and interviewed and appointed all of our officers. And on reflection, that was a mammoth task. But as I said, we were blessed, because I firmly believe that we've always had and still have the best officers in local government in Victoria. And I guess that they were attracted too because of the challenge and the excitement of the establishment of the new city. And it really was a wonderful experience. It was not easy, because we had to resolve with the old Shire who owned what and who got what, and that's a long protracted thing. I guess Mr. Lucas could tell you more about that, but it was years in being resolved. And of course, in the end, wash up, it ended up pretty equal in regard to who owed what. We had nowhere to meet. It was an interesting time, because we were still councillors of the Shire from August until October the 1st, some of us, and we were councillors elect for the city.
So you were wearing two hats of meetings, were you?
Yes. So we were still having to go to the Shire meeting, you know, and do what had to be done there as your usual process. Yeah. But you also were having these meetings about how we were going to put the city in place and organising our interviews for our offices and trying to find somewhere for us to meet. And we looked at all different sorts of places to meet. One of the ones was the old house up at Berwick Brae, which used to be, you know, the hunting club ball room where they used to hold the balls for that. And we ended up, as on record, at meeting down in the site office in Kays Avenue for the CRB when they were building the new freeway down there. And that was challenging just on its own, because originally we met in the kitchen. Everything happened in the kitchen. It was really quite incredible, and the room was no bigger than this, and it was just chock-a-block with files and tables. And then when it came to meeting the council, we'd sort of sit down around it. We were all nearly sitting on each other's knees just to get into the room. And then subsequently there was more added on, some more portables added on. And we had an area that was designated specifically for council meetings. And then there was the excitement of trying to pick the exact location of where the actual site of the city of Berwick was going to be, and there was lots of debate about that, because we had CHI were wanting to develop one area, and we had Overland Development Corporation wanting to develop another area, and they were both promising to give us land to put our civic centre. And that, you know, is a story all within itself. On the discussion that went on there. And I can still remember I was due to go and fly over to Adelaide as part of my role as national president of the Local Government Women's Association. And we had chosen this site here for the Civic Centre. And we were talking about where the buildings were going to be located and where the city square would be. And I couldn't envisage it. I had great difficulty in painting a mental picture. So I said, couldn't the officers go up and mark it out on site so as we can stand up there and have a look? And I can still recall, dressed to the nines, all ready for this plane flight that I had to go and catch, having to come through the wire fence on the edge of the Prince's Highway, and picking my way through cow paths up to have a look at where everything was going to happen. But it was great, because it really did help me anyway, and I think possibly some of the other councillors, to visualise just, yeah, this was going to be it. It was very exciting. Of course, the other aspect too, which was very challenging at that time, was the whole proposal that was being put forward by Loader and Bailey. And council was very evenly divided over this whole question of whether to support Loader and Bailey's concept or not. Mm-hmm. And it was fascinating, because we'd go into a planning committee meeting and we had a chairman who did not support the Loader and Bailey concept, and so the vote would go one way, and then the recommendations would all come up to council, and the mayor of the day did support the Loader and Bailey concept, and the whole thing would be reversed around. Mm-hmm. So it was really quite a fascinating and a challenging time, and I'm just doing such a quick sketch of the whole thing that it just doesn't do it justice. Mm-hmm. And
were you conscious of that change between the first year and then the second year?
Oh, very much so. Because at the end of the first year, because of the planning issues, many of our councillors that stood were not re-elected, and that changed the balance considerably. And it was fascinating, because there were only four councillors that stood. But after the elections, it ended up that it was really only Jim Alexander and myself who were left who supported the Loader and Bailey concept. And I guess we felt that we had been put into Coventry, because for me to get a motion moved, I would have to second... Jim would have to second my motion, and vice versa, even if we agreed with what the other person was doing or not, just purely to enable it to be debated around the table. And it was a very difficult...
And no one else would support you.
No, it was a very difficult situation. Oh, at times, but about planning issues I'm talking about here. Yeah. There were other issues where, of course, your colleagues would support you because they were wider than the planning things. But particularly on planning issues, Jim and I thought one way and the other 10 seemed to basically think the other way. Mm. If I wasn't on tape, I'd be a little bit more concise about some of the comments that I could make. But, yeah, so
that was a very hard period then.
It was a very hard period of time. I think if ever there was a time that I thought I would leave local government because I couldn't cope, that would have been the time. But I used to liken myself to one of those plastic dolls, you know, that are weighted in the bottom and you hit them down and they bounce back up again and I always used to see myself like that because you always felt as though you're being slapped down but you bounce back because it was bigger than me. Yeah. You were trying to do not what was right for me, but what you felt was right for the municipality. Mm. It's a fascinating thing that that while the Loader and Bailey concept was never adopted in total because purely the way it went, there is still today so much of the Loader and Bailey concept in the planning of the city of Berwick, which I think has made Berwick what it is.
Which things are you thinking of there?
Just the way the cell plans operate and the way the subdividers had to develop and the underground electricity and all of those things and the placement of infrastructure when it was needed and not years afterwards, all sorts of things that were in that Loader and Bailey concept were consciously or unconsciously adopted because even if they couldn't support the relief.